This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Dude, it's Stephen A., man. Stephen A., right off the top, responding to LeBron's comments on the Pat McAfee show.
Well, okay, so
spats between people right now.
I don't know if LeBron said anything specifically about Stephen A. The one I had seen was LeBron taking a shot at what everybody assumes is Brian Windhorst, right?
Yeah.
Because LeBron said something along the lines of, oh, you mean that guy that claims he's my best friend?
Right.
Which is, it's one of those things that I'm honestly kind of surprised that LeBron falls for this. In this day and age, and because he's been around for a while, it's when athletes mistake things people are saying about somebody as opposed to what the person himself actually said.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, Brian Windhorst has never tried to claim that he's LeBron's best friend or anything. He's just actually, he's been clued in on a lot of stuff because LeBron has given him a lot of information over the years. So other people might act like, oh, yeah, Windhorst is just buddies with LeBron James. But it's not like Windhorst has presented himself like that.
No. He's been kind of anointed as the guy who's, if there ever needs to be a history of LeBron James written, Brian Windhorst would be the guy to write that book, probably.
I'll tell you what, it'd be a cautionary tale to a lot of budding young sports writers that these guys are not your buddies at all. And I'm not saying Windhorst thinks that LeBron is, but the Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah.
He's not your buddy.
He's not.
He's not your buddy, and he's using you. Like, they're using you in the way they should be using you. If they want their side of the story to be put out, then so be it, but they're not your buddies.
Yep. Chandler Rome has a really good piece, dropped a couple days ago as we head into opening day for the Astros today. We'll talk about that between now and the end of the show for sure, probably multiple times. But Mets in town, Framber Valdez on the mound. We're excited about that. It's a really good piece. It's a profile on Dana Brown and kind of what he's learned these first couple years, Seth, about being a GM versus his multiple decades as a scout or directing scouting. You know, his upbringing is in the scouting community,
yeah,
as opposed to some of his predecessors, where the upbringing was far more in the analytics community. You know, Jeff Luhnow, two GMs ago, wasn't even brought up through baseball before he,
yeah,
you know,
he was
got
in
to the
garment
Cardinals
industry.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's a really interesting article because you get a feel for a couple of things that I think are important. That Dana Brown, at his core, is still a guy who uses a lot of gut feel, a lot of what he sees with his eyes. But he's very open to the analytic side of it. And there's a good anecdote in this piece about Philip Maton. When Dana Brown got here, Philip Maton was one of the guys in the Astros bullpen. And Dana Brown would watch him and he'd be like, how does this guy get guys out with this stuff? Like, he's looking at him as a guy like, I don't know that I would ever sign or trade for this guy. But then he got with the analytics people who kind of gave him some data on spin rate and things like that.
Yeah.
And so so that's just one player. But the gist of the story is he's a guy who's not shutting off that side of the building. He's a guy who's very curious, Dana Brown, and very eager to learn and incorporate that into his old school scouting methods.
Yeah, and it's a really good article by Chandler Rome. As I've told you guys many times, The Athletic, if you want to read good stuff, it's worth a subscription. I get more bang for my buck out of it than I do out on Netflix. But so it's a very good article by Chandler Rome. The entire time I'm reading the first half of this article, what really struck me was that it feels like Dana Brown is the GM version of Brent Strom. Where, like, Brent Strom was a grizzled old baseball player turned coach, mm-hmm. who was very open to the analytical side of things.
Yeah.
And that's the perfect spot in baseball, I think, is the guys that know the human side of it and they know the nuts and bolts of the way the players operate and the way the players play, but that you can... that you've got blind spots and mm-hmm. that you've got to always be willing to learn. And that's where you can blend the analytics with the actual real baseball world. And it feels like Dana Brown is in that sweet spot.
Yep. So there's that. There's Dana Brown kind of knowing now he needs to be more cognizant of the business side of things, specifically salaries, competitive balance tax. There's a quote in here from Dana. I kind of knew the business side. I just never had to worry about it. Now as a GM, you know the baseball side, but you have to worry about everything you do. There's a business reaction to every move we make, and you have to keep that in mind, end quote. And I would say, you know, like Dana Brown, you got to be cognizant of it. But if you were overly cognizant of it at the trade deadline last year, you maybe don't make the Yusei Kikuchi trade. Like if you mean by business reaction how fans are going to react to things, everybody crapped all over the Yusei Kikuchi trade because you gave up Lo Perfido and you gave up Will Wagner and you gave up Jake Bloss. Dana Brown is his own man, and that's where the quote that really got me excited in this article was about Jim Crane trusting him, and I got to find it here. But Dana Brown says, Jim Crane has really allowed me the opportunity to be a GM. You go to some organizations, there's a GM, a president, you got the owner. But being able to go directly to the owner and have a conversation about what you want to do and for him to understand and have confidence in your baseball eye, I think that's a welcoming thing for me because he trusts me, end quote. That's what gives me the confidence set that we aren't operating with a five-headed monster making all these decisions anymore.
Right.
They're letting Dana Brown function like a real GM. They're letting Dana Brown function like GMs function before there were other people in Jim Crane's ear in the building.
Well, no, and the whole thing, too, is... And I do think, you know, without knowing the inner workings and everything like that, but when it comes to finding that right balance between all the tools that you have available now in terms of analytics and everything else, but also your old world baseball knowledge, it always felt like Bagwell was way too far on the side of the nerds don't know what the hell they're talking about. Because the fact of the matter is, even if you think that 90% of what they're saying is false, that 10% can be really, really valuable. And you got to be open to just understanding and seeing that, okay, all right, I got to look at this differently because I don't want to pass by an opportunity or what have you, that you got to be able to stay open to some of that. Dana Brown is much more in that world than it felt like Reggie Jackson and Jeff Bagwell. And I guess to a lesser degree, or maybe just because he knows to stay in the shadows, Craig Biggio. Biggio's done a great job of just having a voice and an influence, but without necessarily attaching his name to anything.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Dana kind of alludes to in this article the process to arrive at doing the Tucker trade. Like the Tucker trade was not some low level move you just make and then you tell the owner about later. This is your all star right fielder who's in the market for a big contract extension. And it sounds like he was able to just go to Dana directly and explain to him, hey, this is the trade and this is why it makes sense, you know?
Did I say Reggie Jackson or Reggie Miller?
I think you said Reggie Jackson. I think, if you said Reggie Miller.
In my brain, I was thinking of a former player who doesn't seem like he knows what he's talking about when you see him talking. It was Reggie Miller. So me getting Jackson out was good.
Yeah.
Not to say that Reggie Jackson didn't know what he was talking about. It was a weird situation there for a while where you had this council of elders that felt like they were... they were actually making the real decisions, and who knows how much the baseball people are actually allowed to operate.
Probably a much more difficult council of elders to deal with for James Click than Dana Brown. You know, Dana Brown actually probably connected with them to some degree because he views baseball through a similar lens as they do, you know.
And he's come up the normal way.
Yeah.
You know, he's come up as a scout. He's kind of put in his dues and all of that versus the fancy lad showing up with his slide rule.
Wasn't some Yale grad writing for Baseball Prospectus before he got into GMing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can text in 713-572-4610. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. What channel's the Astros game on today? It's on Space City today. It'll be broadcast.
But tomorrow... it's on Apple.
It's on Apple TV, and we're having Heidi Watney on, who's a sideline reporter for the game. She's going to join us on the show.
Did we have her last year?
We did. Yeah, she was really good.
Yeah,
we liked her.
She was good.
Yep. So it'll be on Apple tomorrow, and then...
Do you get a free subscription for the baseball, or do you have to pay for it now?
I think it's just part of Apple TV. I think it's baked into the normal subscription.
I got to clean up my Apple subscriptions because they still all the receipts go to my old Hotmail address and I don't know how to log into it. Dude. So I see these charges come up from Apple and I have no idea what it's for. Somebody help me get into Hotmail later today. Reach out.
I get like 5 emails a month.
Yeah.
They're each for like $2.99. But they're all for some degree of storage on an iCloud somewhere, you know.
Somewhere,
like, yeah.
I don't know.
I have no idea what
they're storing.
Yeah,
or what. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if I'm even storing things, or if I got a bunch of like the equivalent of like squatters sitting on my storage right now, putting their things on there. I have no idea.
I'm gonna start going to cloud storage for all my stuff that my Apple computer refuses to let me see.
Yeah.
God help you if you try to search for a file in your downloads because you can type in the exact name. But nope, doesn't exist.
So I wake up this morning to a text from Sammy. It was actually a text from his Venmo account where he was Venmoing me like $20 or something like that. And the description is ChatGPT premium subscription. And I'm like, this is nice. Is he sending this to me so I can get a premium subscription to ChatGPT? No, he had subscribed. All three of my kids are still on my Apple account. So when they download an app that costs something, it hits Pop's account still to this day.
They're not kids anymore.
I know. Yeah. I got to fix that. I got to fix a lot of things. The other thing I woke up to, and I'm guessing this is what he was up doing for, you know, till 1 a.m. last night, is he's taking a bunch of pictures from our family and turning us all into South Park characters. I wake up to 20 pictures of pictures through the years of our family as South Park characters. I'm like,
he's a lawyer now. Those are billable hours. Some client's getting billed for that.
It was late at night.
He was going to use it as a display in a case or something.
That'd be hilarious. It matches a mugshot of somebody that he's in a court case against. I had dogs as South Park characters. I had, man, he was having some fun with that last night. He's 25 years old. All right. Hey, The Athletic, also Seth, real quick, as long as we're talking about the Astros, they had 10 bold MLB predictions by Eno Saris of The Athletic. And these articles are tougher to click on nowadays because the Astros have floated off the grid a little bit. Like the Astros, if there was any superlative article over the last 7 or 8 years, like 5 of this, 7 most of this, there was always an Astro. The very last one in this article, Hayden Wisniewski is the Astros' newest coaching win, to your Brent Strom point.
Yeah.
You know, they've sort of kept some of the remnants around that have allowed them to still develop pitchers.
They've still got the Astros car wash.
Yes.
The Kikuchi car wash.
Yes. Dude, if Isak Paredes is a good everyday third baseman, if Cam Smith is who we're hoping he is, and this prediction comes true, just give Dana Brown the keys to everything in the building.
That would offset 20 miserable trades. If you trade away a guy on an expiring contract who's an awesome player, but you end up getting back, if Cam Smith develops the way that people are optimistic about him, if Paredes performs, and then if Wisniewski is a bona fide everyday starter, that's a hell of a trade, man.
Yeah.
And then especially, even though it doesn't affect the Astros at all, but if Tucker is not on the Cubs 2 years from now, especially,
it feels
really good.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, look, if Wisniewski, if they all three turn into something that's contributing for the next 3 to 6 years, they could sign Kyle Tucker to wherever they want to, and he could be an all-star every year. And that's still a good trade for the Astros. You know, like that's still a good trade. So Payne and Pendergast, they said the key in the article said the key with Wisniewski is that, like a lot of pitchers, because he was a bullpen guy for the Cubs. He started out as a starter, got sent to the bullpen. And they said that the common misconception that's now being sort of the codes being cracked a little bit by these pitching coaches is that, as opposed to leaning on what you do really well and just hammering that, is that generating a large degree of unpredictability in what you're going to do.
Yeah, and just offsetting your whatever your strength is, have something, at the very least, have something that offsets. Hunter Brown started to do better last year, too.
Yep.
Your strengths, especially with the simulators that the batters have now, they get pretty good at seeing the strengths of a pitcher and not making it as much of a strength. So if you just introduce that little bit of uncertainty.
Yep.
So, yeah, do that, Wisniewski.
Yep, do that. Do more of that. By the way, the Texas Children's Houston Open, all first-round morning tee times are delayed 5 minutes at the Texas Children's Houston Open right now.
So that's not bad.
Yeah, okay. It's delayed 5 minutes. They've been playing out there. It is raining out there. It's not lightning. Until there's a lightning delay, they're playing what's called lift and place, where you're able to lift, clean your ball, and place it in a general area where it was. So that's what they're doing out there right now.
Is that frowned upon at other times? I'm just thinking of the way I play golf.
Yeah, the rule book is not a thing for me.
Yeah.
So thanks to our boss lady, Sarah Frazier. Her husband's out there right now getting the on-the-scene reports for you here.
Patrick's out there in his rain slicker.
He's out there. He's got
his Weather Channel rain slicker on, and he's sending us back. He's doing that thing where he leans, he artificially leans to make it look like the wind is worse than it actually
is. Yeah. Got his galoshes on. You don't get to use your galoshes very
That's
much.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to love the galoshes. And by the way, we're proud to partner with the Texas Children's Houston Open. It's happening all weekend long at Memorial Park Golf Course. Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, part of this field, number one and number two on the tour right now. The PGA Tour's best are on the course right here, right now, in Houston. Again, delayed tee times right now by 5 minutes. But if you're headed out there, head out there. You know, grab a beer, enjoy it, enjoy the rain, bring an umbrella and your galoshes. For score updates, tee times, weather notes, and ticket information, head to tchouopen.com now. tchouopen.com. Up next, a wild trade rumor that generated yesterday in the NFL. Is this how I'm going to stay relevant as I head into my aging years in radio? We will explain coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
It's funny, this bit of video, which you all are going to hear as audio here in a second, was one of those ones yesterday, Seth, that you know you open up X these days and it tends to push things to the top that it thinks you'll be interested in. And the first like three or four tweets, like the first five tweets when I opened it up at the time that this video dropped, like three of the five were either like three of the five were aggregators aggregating this video from Bruce.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
From Bruce Brennan, who is a longtime Cleveland media member. I guess he's a streamer now, right?
Got his own. I like him because he's angry in the old way. He honors the old sports radio guys. Of being angry all the time. At least the clips I see, he tends to be really angry.
He pops when he's angry, for sure. He may be nice, but that don't pop. Stuff like this pops. Like this one yesterday where you got the rumor mill churning. Now, let's be clear. Immediately, this rumor was shot down by Dallas people. But it's fun to think about. This is Bruce Brennan. And I have a question. I have a question about our careers, Seth, you and me, after we play this bit of audio. This is Bruce Brennan, who has his own streaming show. He's based in Cleveland, about the Browns. As he is speaking, he says, they are trying to trade for Dak Prescott from the Cowboys.
Get ready for this one. I got a pretty darn good source within the Browns organization.
Ooh.
Couple. I heard since our last show that part of the reason Myles Garrett was so willing to sign this extension for contract, money. The Browns are negotiating as we speak with the Dallas Cowboys for a trade for Dak Prescott. And Garrett got all giddy about it. Why, I don't know. We're not going anywhere with Prescott, even if they pull it off. Newsom's part of it, and draft picks. Now, Prescott has a hamstring injury as we speak, and he may not be ready for the start of training camp. But this comes from a couple of different sources. And take it for what it's worth. If it does come about, remember where you heard it first.
Okay, when it does come about, remember where you heard it first is always funny to me. Because, like, when it doesn't come about, can we come back to you as well?
Right.
Can we
right,
come back because, to the store also? Yeah.
Because there are some huge, huge, huge barriers to this, which make it even more interesting if the Browns indeed are trying to trade for Dak Prescott. Because, for one, Dak Prescott does have a no-trade clause. So he would have to approve going to Cleveland, which I don't know. Is it any worse than being in? He might be sick of Dallas. Who knows? But two,
it's worse.
It would be a $95 million cap hit to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Which they can't afford right now.
Nope.
They couldn't sign any free agents because they don't have any cap room. And then to the Browns themselves, who only have $18 million in cap space, they wouldn't be able to afford it either without some extreme gymnastics. So there might be a couple of people in the Browns organization that are suggesting that they trade for Dak Prescott or something. But it seems almost mathematically impossible that it would actually be seriously discussed.
Is Seth, my question with this, because at the end of the day, whether Cleveland trades for Dak Prescott or not doesn't affect us one iota. I don't think the Texans play the Browns this year. I don't think, to Bruce Brennan's point, even if Dak Prescott were on the Browns, I still think they are forecasted to be fourth in that division, probably. They are the biggest underdog in their division. Like, they're the biggest division underdog in football. It is 22-1 for the Browns to win the AFC North. The next closest underdog is, I believe, the Giants are 20-1 to win the NFC East. So the Browns are thought to be one of, if not the worst teams in football this year. I don't think, in a pretend world where Dak's their quarterback, I don't think he gets them to where they want to get to anyways. My question for you is this. So independent of all that,
yeah,
is Bruce Brennan the blueprint for you and I to stay relevant into our 70s? Like, he got a lot of traction from this just by throwing a wild rumor out there that he attributed to a couple good sources that nobody is going to come vet him on. Nobody's coming up to his front porch today. No, there's no police, like, knocking on the door, showing their badge in the window like, Bruce, we need to come get you. These rumors you were spreading about Dak Prescott, you're under arrest.
The answer is no, just because then I wouldn't be alive in my mid-70s.
You couldn't handle that.
Every time I try to do something that goes a little bit against my gut, or somebody will suggest that I throw something out, or anytime I come close to any type of clickbaity type material or unethical bait, because that's just flat out unethical.
Yes.
If you're suggesting just throw stuff out there and claim unnamed sources, no. Because even when I have sources the legitimate way, I don't even feel comfortable with that sometimes, because I never trust the actual sources.
Yeah.
Like even if they're telling me what they think is the truth, I know that people are wrong a lot of the times.
Yeah.
So no, I would die. I would die within 5 years. So it might be a good strategy for those 5 years, but I would have a stroke or something.
I think I could do it. I think I could pull it off. I think there's desperation involved, you know? Like, I need the money, you know? It's a rumor.
That's true.
A couple sources, you know? It's
okay. Well, so maybe we need to get myself into a pinch where I feel like I've got no other choice.
Yeah, you need to get involved. You need to be the victim of a Ponzi scheme so we can get you to where you're desperate for some.
Where I'll just flat out do anything.
Streaming money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So the Cowboys, this would be the conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
If we were going to find a way where this would actually make sense.
Yep.
The Cowboys sit at the 12th spot right now. They have the 12th pick in the NFL draft, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they do.
There is a guy named Shedeur Sanders out there who supposedly people wonder if, man, maybe in some of these reports of him being unlikable in some of his meetings at the combine, where other meetings went smashingly well. I don't know. Is there any angle where maybe they're trying to engineer a way to get Shedeur onto the Cowboys, and then the Cowboys would be open to biting the bullet and doing a bunch of exotic cap stuff to try to trade Dak Prescott, and that they might be able to pull that off?
I hear he's from Dallas, this Shedeur you speak of. I hear his father is a football coach as well. Coached him at Colorado.
Like Derek Stingley, right? So a situation like that?
Well, okay. And he used to play for the Cowboys, his dad did back in the day. So
that takes it up a notch.
So the conspiracy theory, and then the head coach the Cowboys have hired appears to skew more towards the David Culley end of the spectrum than the D'Amico Ryans end of the spectrum.
So maybe I have a... So if we're going to go our unethical route is we just got to claim we have a source that says this is the case.
In the Star up in Dallas. We've got to call it the Star.
My sources in the building tell me this.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Now, I don't think even that... Trying to engineer your way into the 12th pick of the draft, that's a... It's one thing to pull a Manning and flip flop the number one. And let's see, what was the Manning, the Eli Manning?
Eli,
scenario?
It was a 4-1 split. The Giants were the Giants had the fourth pick, the Chargers had the first pick, and they flip flopped.
Okay,
and the Chargers got some stuff.
The Cowboys would have to work out some kind of a deal.
If Shedeur starts,
the Browns
falling.
Have the number two. No, they could draft Shedeur.
Oh, if they get that pick from the Browns, if that pick is part of the trade.
No. The Browns could just draft Shedeur and then trade Shedeur for Dak Prescott.
They could do that, yeah.
Okay, that's what my source tells me. That's the deal. My source.
This one sounds the best.
Me.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, forget everything about me just working my way into this logic. The Browns select Shedeur Sanders, according to my source.
Yeah.
And then they trade Shedeur Sanders to Dak Prescott for Dak Prescott.
Okay, as long as we're talking about quarterbacks in the AFC North, Andrew Filippone is a radio host up in Pittsburgh. He's on our sister station up there. I read this, and I'm like, I can't wait to bounce this off of Seth. He says that there's a theory among Steeler fans that Aaron Rodgers has already agreed to his deal with the Steelers, but he's waiting to announce it at Pat McAfee's one-man show at PPG Paints Arena on April the 9th. I guess McAfee is doing kind of like what the Jim Rome tour stops used to be, where it's a big celebration of Pittsburgh sports. It's sold out. Pack the arena. Probably has a bunch of guests that come up there. It's a big, almost like a pep
rally.
So
he's not doing his show from there. He's doing just a standalone. He's not doing the Pat McAfee show from there. He's doing just a one-man event where he's going to get up and do some
He may be
stuff.
Doing both. Okay. I don't know. Okay. But yeah, like he may be, you know, his show that day. It's on a Friday, maybe in town that week. But the theory is that Rodgers, an FOM, friend of McAfee, is going to use that forum to announce it. Keep in mind, announce it in an arena full of Pittsburgh fans where I'm guessing the expectation is this gets some sort of standing ovation, that Aaron Rodgers, old aging quarterback and victim of an Achilles tear 2 years ago, is
who hasn't
saving.
Seemed like he's all that enthused or eager to get to Pittsburgh in the first
or
place.
Or anywhere for that matter.
Yeah,
it was 5-12 last year. What are we expecting the pop to be for Aaron Rodgers getting introduced as the new quarterback?
You got to remember the showman that Pat McAfee is. It would be huge. Because especially everybody there is going to be a huge Pat McAfee fan and or a Steelers fan.
Yeah.
And they're going
to –
Pat will hype it up in a big, big way.
Yeah.
It's probably getting to the point now where McAfee's going to have to address it beforehand, because it's almost like an Oprah scenario where the audience members are kind of disgusted if they reach under their chairs and it's a commemorative sweatshirt or something. instead of a brand new Mercedes. Yeah.
If you think about what the equivalent of this is like the DJ at a strip club introducing like a wrinkled 70-year-old stripper and expecting the place to go nuts and start throwing, like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the big stage, Edith, you know? Yeah.
Helga, the lunch lady.
Welcome, Helen, to the big stage. Yeah.
My most annoying Aaron Rodgers headline, I'd have to scroll too far to find the exact headline on Pro Football Talk. Florio had some headline that was basically, Steelers fans will like Aaron Rodgers if he starts winning football games for them.
Thanks.
Thanks, Nostradamus.
You don't say.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Yeah, they'll change their tune if he starts winning games. Oh, is that the way human beings operate?
Really, really.
I
Seth,
get it now.
Seth,
yeah.
You have to go to Florio to get that kind of analysis, man. I didn't hear you saying that.
Yeah. All right, boy. Yeah, that's a big if then right there. I don't know.
By the way, no extra fee to watch the Friday MLB games on Apple TV.
Real quick before we get to that, here's the headline.
Yeah.
Winning would cure any Aaron Rodgers hesitation for Steelers fans.
Oh, my God.
Thanks.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, if they start off 8-0 and Aaron Rodgers is playing like an all-pro, do you think – are you telling me there won't be Steelers fans who are still hesitant about the Aaron Rodgers signing?
All right. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast, with you. We will we'll hit opening day on the way out here for sure in the final segment. We'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop. Are we going to get a lot more J.J. Watt back in our lives next year? We may. I think we might. We'll tell you why coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
What a sneaky fun sports day we've got lined up here. We'll talk about that in a second. If you haven't seen the news, J.J. Watt is getting a bump up the mafia family chain. He's getting a bump up from studio analyst to capo, or color analyst. He is going to be, and this is actually, Seth, when you think about it, you know, there's on any given weekend, there's five or six CBS duos that are doing NFL games. J.J. Watt is leapfrogging a lot of dudes. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to, and he's a huge star, obviously, and that plays big into this. And I suspect that he's going to be very good. We've gotten a taste already of J.J. doing some color analysis, and the reviews were pretty good. He did the Christmas Day game between the Steelers and the Chiefs on Netflix with Nate Burleson. And I forget who the play-by-play. It might have been Noah Eagle, the play-by-play guy. I can't remember. It might have been Ian. But Ian Eagle is going to be his partner. Ian Eagle is the clear number two at CBS. And I say that in a good way. Like, he's high up the food chain behind Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. This will be the number two team at CBS, I suspect.
So with the – no, I believe it's been reported as such that it's going to be the number two team. Because Charles Davis, who had been Ian Eagle's partner – he's going to move to full-time college football in 2026. So they're I don't know what they're going to do with Charles Davis this year, but this is basically the replacement for Ian Eagle, and Charles Davis will be Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt. That's the way I understood it. So they'll be leapfrogging. So at least according to last year's lineup, J.J. will be leapfrogging Trent Green, Tiki Barber, Jason McCourty, Adam Archuleta, and Jay Feely. And other than maybe Trent Green, I don't see where any of that feels like it's inappropriate or that J.J. is getting an unfair advantage. Anything.
I think Archuleta is good, but the star power weighs into this. He's J.J.'s a big star, and he's good at what he does. And I think this is great. If you want J.J. Watt on Texans games, I mean, the ultimate goal is to be like the Chiefs, where you're getting Nantz and Romo every week because it means you're the best team in the conference. But I think the Texans are kind of in that sweet spot where they occasionally get Nantz and Romo. They largely get the 2 and 3 teams, the B and C teams for CBS. If I had to guess, I would think J.J. Watt is going to be the color analyst on at least 3 or 4 Texans games this year. I do wonder, do you think they maybe avoid putting him on there just because he was a Texan, or do you think they put him on there because he could get better insight on the Texans?
I think they don't. It doesn't seem like they put much weight into that at all with broadcasting.
Yeah.
They just assume the guy's going to call a good game and that, I know people don't feel this way universally. I feel like Troy Aikman does a pretty good job of keeping it clean when he does Cowboys games. If anything, a lot of times he sounds maybe extra frustrated with the Cowboys, but I don't feel like now I know with color commentary, people always feel like the announcer's screwing their own team or what have you. But I think Aikman does a pretty good job with that. Romo, I just never know what the hell he's doing anyway. So I don't think Romo shows any extra. That sometimes maybe with the Cowboys, because Romo doesn't ever seem to do a whole lot of homework before the games, that maybe he does a better job on Cowboys games because he pays more attention to them. But I don't feel like he gives them any extra leeway or anything.
If you're someone that is hoping that eventually Tony Romo is not on the first unit anymore for CBS, because let's face it, Romo jumped ahead of literally everybody in the HOV lane to get to that spot. He replaced Phil Sims. He didn't start out with Spiro Dedes for a year and then grind his way up. He's Tony Romo, and he got put there because he was a Dallas Cowboys quarterback, first and foremost. I would say of the names you just rattled off, like, J.J. is clearly the one who, if star power is the thing, and I'm Tony Romo, like, all of a sudden there's a guy in that number two seat that, like, all right, well, this guy actually is as big, if not a bigger star than I am right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. We'll see. I think J.J. will do a good job with it. I enjoyed the parts of the game where I was able to listen to him during the Netflix one. They had him paired up with Nate Burleson.
Yeah.
And so there was good chemistry between him and Nate Burleson. It can be hard in a 3-man booth when you're doing that job for the first time to know exactly when to talk or when to lay back, and I thought JJ did a good job with it.
Yeah, three man's tough, man. You have to have a really good guy steering the ship on that too.
I like Archuleta. Archuleta points out some of the nuances from a defensive back perspective that I really like. I think Archuleta does a better job of explaining quarterback decision making some than a lot of the quarterbacks do.
Yeah,
because I think he understands where they get duped sometimes and where they don't. But yeah, none of the CBS doesn't seem to lean into the star power stuff as much, which is ironic given that with Tony Romo they 100% leaned into that.
Yeah. Charles Davis will be their number one guy on their college football package. Is that what it says? I think he's going to be.
In 2026.
In 2026, yeah. He'll be their number one guy. Would you, if you were a color analyst, would you rather be on a big network like CBS, would you rather be the number one college football guy or the number two NFL guy?
I'd rather be the number six NFL guy. Yeah, I don't want
ahead
to be
of me. So you don't want anything to do with college football. Yeah. I got you. Just pays a lot more to be that number one on anything, though. You know.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm just doing it for fun anyway. Yeah. So it's I just have a lot more fun with the matchups in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's hard enough with college. It's there's just so much more. Because you don't get to break it down on a granular level as much with the matchups, and then also the names. The names are frequently changing so much.
Yeah.
It's probably probably a lot of people like it as a challenge in that regard. But I feel like with football, you get more of an actual, all right, I know these guys and I know what the strengths are and I know exactly how this team who faced them earlier this year might have to, you know, change what they did in the first matchup, all that stuff.
Compared to college football? NFL now, even with free agency in the NFL now, compared to what college football's become, the NFL may as well be the NFL from back in the 70s when the Steelers guys were all on the team forever because there's no free agency. College is just such a revolving door right now. Payne and Pendergast, text message, all caps. Can't stand Nance and Romo. We didn't mean to trigger you. We're just happy for J.J. Watt,
well,
okay?
The other thing, though, too, about college versus the NFL is NFL, there's still more time between plays. Even though the NFL has increased its pace a little bit to more in line with college, it's still there's time to actually talk and rewatch and do all that compared to a lot of the super up tempo college stuff.
I think I would have more fun doing college, the stuff surrounding it. The game is the game. I don't know if I have a super huge preference of whether I would do college or NFL. Being on a campus for a college weekend, though, and doing a game would be a whole lot of fun, as opposed to being in an NFL. Although being in an NFL city can be fun. You go out and get a nice steak dinner or whatever. But college campuses, yes. That's where
you know
it's
who gets
happening.
Leapfrogged here, Sean? Ooh. You know who gets leapfrogged?
Ooh.
And I'm surprised you haven't brought him up yet.
Mm.
Ross Tucker.
Oh,
J.J. Watt just swooping in and higher on the pecking order than Ross Tucker, despite his brilliant work in the Texans versus Titans game in the season.
He was really – no, Ross is excellent. Was he not on that list that you read of all the guys there?
He's listed as a sideline reporter because he doesn't do the color commentary that often.
We'll have to ask him. We'll have to get him on before the draft and say, how does it feel to get leapfrogged by J.J. Watt?
Let's start some heat.
Yeah.
Between let's JJ get him talking smack about J.J.
J.J. and Ross Tucker, for sure. Man, today is a very underrated sports day, and it's raining outside, but we got Astros opening day at 3:10. We've got the Rockets tonight in Utah to take on the hated Jazz. We'll always hate the Jazz, no matter how bad they are. And they beat the Rockets in Utah last time. We've got college basketball coming up tonight. I can root for my janky-ass bracket to try to come through. I need Arkansas to go win the whole thing for me to win it.
Who's winning our brackets amongst the hosts?
Lopez
right now?
Just walked into the studio, and I think he's in the top three, so I'm guessing he can recite chapter and verse who he's chasing and who's nipping on his heels right now. Are you, John, are you, where are you right now in the bracket?
I believe I am in second in place, second. Maybe third place, I think second.
Do you know who's in first, or are you
Patrick
one of the...
Patrick Creighton.
Okay.
Patrick Creighton is up there.
You know what? Yeah, Creighton. That makes sense.
One Parker Hillis is up there.
Yeah. Yep.
Creighton's the most, like, I think across the board, the best versed old school, hardcore sports guy, in terms of baseball, college basketball, anything like that.
Dude, if you
need
Wimbledon takes.
Yes.
Patrick Creighton.
He'd give it to you. Yes,
he watched John McEnroe, fellow New Yorker back in the day, do his thing. And Jimmy Connors.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Olympics, you bring up Olympics or anything like that. Yeah, he's that guy. He's like very well-rounded.
Creighton's a guy. He's the jukebox at our station where, you know what, I think I'm going to look for category Wimbledon. I need some hot takes on Wimbledon. You just go boop, 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 like touch tunes.
Yeah.
Yep, he's the guy. So he's in first right now. I was expecting your answer to be something along the lines of, I don't know who's in first. I'm just following my process.
Yeah,
if I follow my process, if I follow my process, I will prevail.
Well, I'm going to win.
Okay. All right. Hi, Reggie. What's up? How's it to do a show with this guy over here? He's the I'm going to win guy in the brackets.
Oh, man. He's.
How's your bracket, by the way?
It's hanging on there. Yeah. I thought there would be more upsets early, so that's not fun. But I still got, what, seven of my Elite Eight teams in there.
Oh, so you're in good shape. Yeah, I do, too. Right. The problem is that the one that I lost is the one I had winning the whole tournament.
Ah.
Oh. Well,
So I just need Arkansas to go on a tear and just kill everybody's bracket.
I think it's a fun place to be. Like, at that point, you're rooting against other people.
It's not the best, but it's all right, I guess.
And maybe that says something about me.
Yeah.
What's our question of the day?
We've got a good question of the day for you today. What things or what makes you feel like a kid again based on opening day? I'll give you a little thought starter here. One of mine is swimming pools. Like, I still do cannonballs.
Swimming pools or swimming pools
swimming
in general?
Pool, okay. Any swimming pool.
You still do cannonballs?
All the time. I'm a big cannonball guy.
Do you yell cannonball as you're jumping in? You
know, maybe occasionally.
Yeah, you should.
I also have a dive. I have a patented dive that I do. That my kids line
There's
up.
A name for it because you love naming things. What's the name?
Well, it's the old school dive.
Okay.
Here, I'll show you.
Wait, what? We don't have any water here.
Right. Heels together.
Okay.
And your hands like this, and then you squat, and then it dives.
Oh.
That was like the... What was the name of the actress? Was it all the like back in the 1940s that was in those water musicals?
Yes. Every time we go to a pool, they say, pool. Do the dive.
Oh, really?
Hell yeah.
Okay, you're quite the showman.
I am the showman.
Yeah. By the way, Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. Yeah, I got to do it one more time, all right? Don't start cheering for me yet.
Mm-hmm. So what makes you feel like a kid again?
I will tell you mine. You asked me this question when I poked my head in over there, and I, unlike sometimes where I struggle to come up with the answer immediately, this is an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
Arcades. Any arcade game, any old school arcade game, I have toyed with the idea for a long, long time of getting one of those old school arcade games that you can get now that have like 50 games embedded inside of them.
Yeah.
I'm getting closer and closer to getting one, just putting it in the corner of the living room there. Yeah. Who am I out to impress?
Yeah.
The one person I'm trying to impress lives with me anyways. She'll learn to deal with it. Yeah, she's got no choice. Yeah. What about you, Seth?
I had a vision of you at like the old school arcade of like you down at the dirty Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Wearing a newsboy cap and knickers and just scamming people for nickels so you can go in and watch the Dirty Picks. Yeah.
Farmington.
Or the Esther Williams movie.
There you go.
Yeah.
The Farmington Valley Mall. That is where the arcade was in town. The Farmington Valley Mall.
Space Invaders, your game?
Space Invaders was my game.
I knew it!
Space Invaders, and I even knew the code back in the day to get you double bullets on Atari.
Nice.
When Atari came out with Space Invaders in like 1981, because it had come out in the arcade first. A lot of the Atari games, Atari invented them.
Yeah.
Like combat and things like that. Space Invaders was so huge back in like 1980, 1981. And Atari coming out with it, I think it was probably right before Christmas time, was so massive.
I was in college. I went to the Thirsty Turtle.
Yeah, the Thirsty Turtle.
All right, the arcades
The Mount Rushmore of early 80s arcade games. We're really, really siphoning off the audience right now. Frogger, Space Invaders, Asteroids.
Good
call.
And I would say Defender. Remember Defender?
Pac-Man.
Defender, you're out. Pac-Man, Frogger, Space Invaders, Asteroids.
Yeah.
Asteroids is stressful. Ooh. That moment for me. Okay, remember when you were a kid and it seemed like when you watched fireworks on the 4th of July?
Oh yeah.
It just felt like the fireworks filled up the entire sky. It was so incredible. And then when you're an adult, you're watching and you're kind of like, "All right, yeah, I know. It's whatever. It doesn't look as magnificent." In my wife's hometown, the Allegheny River runs through it. And one year with my wife's family, we got canoes and we floated down the Allegheny River to where on the 4th of July they have the fireworks display. But what you do is you sit out in the river next to this park where the fireworks are being put off, and it's pitch black, like you can't see anything. but you're just floating on the canoe, and like the river doesn't move that fast at that point. So you're just kind of backpedaling, you know, staying in place. And it's in the fireworks fill up the whole sky, and it feels like you're floating in space.
Yeah,
that was a really that was a really cool moment that I wish I hadn't been sober for. I was like, man, I wish I were affected right now. This would be even that much better.
Text message: someone saying Galaga. Galaga would like a word. Yeah,
Wait, am I reading this right? Because I'm guessing that was just an autocorrect here. That Dyken Park has, or is that Dirksen Park?
No. It's an autocorrect. It's Dyken Park. They said there's an arcade by Dyken Park. It's called Joysticks.
Oh yeah,
it's awesome. The owner is named Charles. He's a big listener of the station.
Okay,
I see him sometimes at Lizards because Lizards gets there. The Lizards has like two or three video games there that they got from Joysticks.
Okay,
so he pops in there sometimes to you know whatever.
Yeah,
whatever service is required. So yeah, Joysticks. It is, yeah, it's cool.
It's good. I've been in there.
I will say this, too. These are not live reads. These are Cidercade is fun as well if you're looking 100%. For arcade games. Yeah. They have all the old school games, and you pay like $15.
And you just play?
All you can play. And I said this to Seth during a break a little earlier when you had told me what the question was. And I said, can you imagine back in the day when you were pumping quarters into fights. Arcade games? if you had an all-you-can-eat arcade or all-you-can-play arcade fee, there would have been fights.
Yeah.
We would have had our first
just hogging
fight.
The game.
Yeah. It would have been bad, man. Mm-hmm. All right. Glad we had this talk. That's a good question.
Thank
man.
You.
That's a good question. 10:40.
Who brought you that question in this moment?
That would be Crosstalk, sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. Good looking out, Reggie.
Yeah. Got you,
appreciate
my boy.
Your brother.
Got you.
Appreciate it.
Hey, man, it's opening day. The vibes are high.
I know, man. This is an underrated sports day.
Oh, my goodness.
Astros, Rockets. They're playing golf out
they
there.
They are
right
playing
now,
golf.
Last I checked. And we got March Madness as well, so this is a whole lot of fun. Gentlemen, have a great show.
Thank you.
Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies as I download Galaga. Right.
That's the thing now.
Moment.
Yeah, like you can play it on your phone now if you want to. Holy crap.
We just took up some of his weekend. That's all we did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've lost Seth.
Took him off the anonymous scout quotes, and you got him playing Galaga now. All right, we're done. We're out of time.